Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Java. Brought to you, as always, by our friends at the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where they're open for business, and you can go there and drown your sorrows, as if the week wasn't miserable enough already with the football team doing that terrible thing that they did Sunday. The hockey team had a... You know, Dave, it was just a bad third period, really, right?
Well, it wasn't just a bad third period, but, I mean, they did some good things, certainly over the course of the first two. There were some major issues, the penalty kill in the first period, giving up two goals. But 5-on-5, they were pretty good. There were times when they seemed resilient. They twice came back from deficits to tie the game. But then they really unraveled in the final 15 minutes or so.
Based on what you'd seen of the team in training camp, and I was there a day myself, how much does that weigh into this? And I understand they and the Flyers had the same amount of days and everything else here, but I'm sure that all teams aren't affected the same way.
I don't know that I would put all that much of it on the training camp. I mean, for some guys, like Mike Matheson, had some really rough night or moments tonight.
You don't say.
And I think at least some of that can be attributed to coming to a new team, that sort of thing. But the wretched performance by just about all of their centermen on faceoffs, with the exception of Crosby, these guys have been taking faceoffs all their lives. I don't think that a lack of work on them in training camp
as much as you can and should always recognize that the Flyers have really good face-off guys, with Couturier. Nolan Patrick's actually pretty good on draws. He's not visible in any other walk of life, but he's good on draws.
No, the Flyers are good, but the Penguins should not be as bad as they were. The Flyers aren't that good. No team is that good.
On faceoffs, yeah. Yes. Generally speaking, you're doing something. Look, put it this way: when you're getting your clock cleaned that much on draws, at some point or other during the game, just say heck with it. Yeah. I'm just going to play for a tie on this draw. Yeah. I'm just going to stick my leg in here, and that guy's not going to win it either.
I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Crosby was their only center to win more than one faceoff in the first 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
That's a pretty remarkable statistic.
But overall, anything at all that they can take from it, though?
I thought they got a pretty solid performance out of a third line. And, that was something that was woefully lacking last year.
Yeah.
I thought McCann and Jankowski and Tanev acquitted themselves pretty well. Obviously,
they
scored two goals.
All three individually, too. Yep.
They had some mistakes. McCann had a pretty bad giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game of mistakes, and so everybody contributed tonight. They all did their part. I thought the third line played pretty well. I don't think Tristan Jarry played as bad as his goals against average in this game is going to suggest, especially the first couple of power play goals Philadelphia got. There was nothing he could do about. He did give up a few that I think he wants to have them back. Every goalie wants to have back every goal he gives up, but there were a few that I think he might stop.
If anything, honestly, Dave, I came away like pleasantly surprised by some facets of the Penguins' play. I'm still a little too close and too raw with the football thing to not see a parallel between, well, if it wasn't for the center snapping the ball over the quarterback's head and the three interceptions in the first quarter, But, you know, those things did happen, and the Penguins' major defensive lapses did happen.
They did, and some of them there's really no good excuse for. I mean, James Van Riemsdyk is good in front of the net, but Mike Matheson on the first goal simply got completely outmaneuvered by him. Flyers got a goal when Jake Gensel was slow to on the back check. Those are, you know, errors that you shouldn't be making and that you certainly can't afford to make against a good team, which the Flyers certainly are.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you think of Sid and Gino and going back to the series against Montreal, and then going back to the latter part of last season, is there an almost unrealistic expectation that they're just gonna stay great forever? Or when they aren't great, that, oh no, that's it? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not referring to this game.
I can't really say what the public perception is, but nobody's great forever.
No.
If they were, then, you know, the Penguins' first line center tonight would have been Mario Lemieux. I don't think
having his ankles whacked by Bobby Clarke the whole way up the ice, by the way.
I don't think that either of those guys is over the hill yet. Certainly the goal that Crosby scored tonight, I think it might be a goal of the year candidate, even though it happened in, you know, the second period of the first game on the NHL schedule. But, you know, time does catch up with everybody, and even the best players aren't going to be at their best every night. So
I guess it feels like they've kind of crossed into that territory where, you know, and you've seen it, you know, with not so much Mario, but, you know, humans. You've seen it with people who they'll just get to a point where every time they don't look good or they go through a slump, instead of just saying they're going through a slump, you say, oh no.
Well, I mean, everybody does hit the wall if they stay in the game long enough, where they just can't do it anymore. And so I guess if you're pessimistic by nature, you might interpret every little hiccup that an older player runs into as possibly, you know, the first step down that road to lack of productivity. I don't have whatever problems the Penguins have right now, though. I don't think that a drop off the cliff for Crosby or Malkin is that's too not high on the list.
Yeah, that's not imminent. And as far as this game goes, you mentioned Sid's goal. I mean, Carter Hart helped him out a little bit, but he still
he knocked the puck out of the air, and then not only
and then
scored
this
with one hand, he flipped it over Hart's stick with one hand. If he had just pushed it toward the net with one hand, it would have been stopped.
Yeah, he's
it was
pretty
a pretty
good.
Amazing.
Yeah,
sequence.
He's pretty good. That's why I was making the distinction here. I wasn't asking about this game. It's just a general thing. Seeing them back on the ice again, all eyes are always on them. Malkin had moments in the game. I thought some of them were not good moments.
Yeah.
But I think I think that could be said in general about the top two lines. If you're talking after the game, whether it's fair or not, that the Mark Jankowski line was probably by far
your
best line. Not close. Yeah. And that the next best line, at least in my estimation, I don't know if you agree, I thought the Bluger line had its own moments. Certainly with possession and being aggressive. Okay, it wasn't. They weren't great.
Yeah, and, Bluger was at another really tough night on faceoffs. That's a part
of
his game.
Yeah, I know. We can't get past that. Yeah.
Yeah, and, that's part of the game.
Yeah.
It's a part of the game that he has to improve at.
It's just they don't feel like the Penguins until you have the main guys, getting to where they're supposed to be.
It's fair enough.
Every game, every period, every goal, every decision that a head coach makes in an abbreviated season is magnified. There's only 55 games left on the schedule now. Swinging back to the stuff about Matheson, and we didn't even mention Cody Ceci, who wasn't exactly bowling anybody over out there either. If you're Mike Sullivan, do you put Pettersson back with Marino and stop messing with a good thing and then just say, you know what, we have a lousy third pairing and we're just not going to play them very much, or something else?
I don't think even in a shortened season that you cut yourself down to essentially two pairings this early. I think I would be inclined to, first of all, I wouldn't have taken Pettersson away from Marino.
Why did you do that?
I think it was an experiment. I don't have
any. Do you, or do you think he was just trying to cover for the guy?
Especially in camp. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that.
It just felt like the moment he did it, it felt like they were trying to find a way to cover for Matheson. Like, it's like, here, we'll put you with this kid because this kid's just gold and he never makes any mistakes. Well, guess what? If you put him with a partner like that, Marino didn't look so good either.
No, but again, it was training camp. I have no problem with experimenting. And, if they go 55-1, I think that, their failings in this game will be overlooked. 110-point season wouldn't be bad.
No, I just think in general, though, what you have to be aware of, if you're Sullivan, is that the amount of time that you want to give to any decision that you've made, whether it's Matheson, CeCe, or whether it's forward lines, or even it's just strategical stuff, that everything has to happen faster.
Oh, certainly, but, it's only one game, and there actually was at least one point in the game tonight when he did have Pettersson back with Marino.
Yeah, I couldn't. I saw that, but I couldn't tell if that was just a happenstance thing.
I thought they were on by design, and definitely Matheson seemed to be left off of one of the penalty kills.
Imagine.
I won't be shocked if on Friday they go back to Matheson and CeCe from the start of the game and allow Pettersson to go back with Marino. Again, while it's a shortened season and the importance of every game is magnified in the grand scheme of things, the first game of the season
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to bury him, and I don't even necessarily suggest that you do something all that different for the next game on Friday night. I just think it's you have to enter the season with an approach and a mindset that you can't stick with what isn't working for very long. You can't say, well, this we're just going to give them through October, so to speak, to see how they're going to do. It's not going to fly, and I think that holds true of a lot of different things as it relates to this team. And I just hope that he's flexible enough that, let's say, for example, repeating here, not burying anybody here or whatever, okay, but, we just walked out of the building. if Matheson and or CeCe aren't it, you have defensemen.
They have capable replacements.
And I dare say that if they had used those guys in this game, with their familiarity and their experience in the team, they don't lose this game.
Hypothetical, so we'll never know. It's certainly plausible that it would have worked out well, but
is that the right thing for the long term?
Don't pass judgment on Matheson and CeCe after 60 minutes.
No, I agree with that. I'm just saying that whatever it is that comes about, that I just hope that he doesn't say, or he and or Rutherford don't say, well, all right, well, we just traded Patrick Hornquist for this guy, so he's got to play no matter what.
No, but while the schedule is shorter, the time needed to develop chemistry between partners isn't necessarily accelerated.
Which Marino acknowledged after the game, to his credit, yeah.
Even though there are fewer games, there are some things that can't be accelerated. That doesn't mean that Matheson and Marino would ever become an effective pairing, but they wouldn't do it any faster just because it's a shorter than usual season.